League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hour number three starts now. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. We take you till 4. Blitz takes you till 7. They're back. They're in the States. They're ready to go. They were a little tardy yesterday, but they asked you to hold down the fort.
Yeah,
I wish it would have been two segments, but it was one.
We're going to try to get Josh Jordan on the show here in the 3 o'clock hour to dish about Josh Ennis and 790. We'll see if he'll do it.
You're kind of fired up about that.
I
was surprised that you kind of just opened it up and unloaded. I was driving around.
We're going to just call it like I see it.
Or hear it.
Yeah. Somebody said that was one of the greatest segments y'all have had in the suspect's history. The swinging segment where we talked to Waz.
Kudos to you, Nick, for having your buddy and getting on the show.
The dude's a fascinating character. What can I say?
Kudos to him for doing it.
Yeah. You too.
Great show, guys. Quick question. How does someone call in and sound handsome? I don't know. You got to get you one of those Aussie accents.
I guess that helps.
Yeah, Mick Maynard is an Aussie, and he'll make the women swoon when he talks.
Played for the Houston SaberCats.
That's true.
That promo, we both were like, "Why?" Sounds just like him.
So he's not a big fan of the SaberCats.
Oh no,
he calls it fake rugby or something.
Did he play?
I think he did. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, of course. He's so dreamy.
But he said he likes some of the players. He just doesn't like all of them.
Would he have gotten mad if we said, has Nick been in consideration, or when does Nick get involved?
Oh,
he wouldn't have never. No, y'all should have asked.
Damn it. We missed. We should have told you. And you haven't seen his partner?
I have not.
Okay. Somebody asked a question on the text line. I get to go to 3 more college football games this season. What 3 games would you go to? Well, if you're asking us to help you pick, I think we're missing some important information. Like, do you get to travel? Is it local? Does it matter what game? Like, because obviously it would be the playoff game.
I was going to say, take the variables out, and it's the two playoff, the semis, and the final.
Yeah.
If you want to change it up a little bit, I'd say if there's one game that I've been waiting for, it's this weekend. I'd see LSU-Alabama.
Because that's kind of like getting a third semifinal game.
Absolutely right. So if you take the playoffs out of it, I would say the game this weekend, the SEC championship game would probably be number 2 because it's still probably going to be a good game with 2 really good opponents.
Mm-hmm.
And possibly isn't
Ohio State, Penn State playing soon?
I would say, or maybe the Big Ten championship game as well.
They play, November 23rd. So Ohio State and Penn State are going to play. And if they're still in both top 4 teams, that would be another one to go to.
Oh, and one of the ones I throw out there, just from a rivalry standpoint, because it's an amazing environment, Michigan-Ohio State. It's a big rivalry.
That doesn't matter now. So that leads us into a little talk about the rankings. They came out last night. You watched it.
I did.
Thoughts on it? So if you missed it, if you've been sleeping under a rock or just didn't care or haven't, watched the news or anything, college football rankings came out first week where the committee does the rankings. And Ohio State 1, LSU 2, Alabama 3, Penn State 4. Clemson 5, Georgia, Oregon, Utah, Oklahoma, and Florida round out the top 10.
13 was good.
13 was Wisconsin, Auburn at 11, Baylor at 12. Notre Dame checks in at 15.
Here's what I'd say right off
thoughts
the get-go.
Thoughts right off the bat. Oh, actually, I have a... Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to right off the get-go, people are losing their minds because of this first one coming out. And they just need to realize a lot of the reason why the committee did what they did is because a lot of this is going to play itself out so that they don't have to worry about it.
What was more shocking to you? Ohio State on top of LSU at one, or Penn State ahead of Clemson at four?
I'd say Ohio State over LSU. Because when you look at it, you can either do it via the analytics and the numbers and strength of schedule and all that stuff, or you can do the eye test and say this team just has everything, and there's no doubt they're going to be there, maybe in the case of Clemson, because they really don't play many teams. But when you look at it, Ohio State, yes, they're good. But in terms of just factoring in strength of schedule, you and I have talked about this. I just felt like at this point in the season, based on who they played and how they've looked, and especially with LSU and the offense that they have, I would put LSU one, and I'm okay with putting Ohio State two, because Alabama really hasn't played anybody either. And like I said, to your point, Penn State at four doesn't bother me either, because they're going to play Ohio State, and the better team's going to win out, and then you're not going to worry about the other team.
And the same is true this weekend. Bama and LSU, you're going to figure out who's the better of the two teams there. In a couple of weeks, you're going to figure out who's the better team between Ohio State and Penn State. So I would tell you, if you're a Clemson fan, chill.
Yeah, you're going to be fine.
You're probably, as long as you win out, you're making the playoffs, right? Because two of the teams ahead of you are going to lose. And that means if you win out, you're in.
Now, here's something that you and I talked about earlier that I think is worth bringing back up again, is there was a discussion about, okay, who has to win LSU-Alabama? Because the consensus that people, when they were talking about it last night, said LSU can lose a close game and they can still get in. Alabama cannot lose this game and expect to get in, because their schedule has been so weak that this is the year they don't think they'll get enough roster credit to get back in it.
Yeah, well, here's what I mentioned to Jerome yesterday, and I still believe this. Mm-hmm. If I'm Alabama and I'm Nick Saban, you've got a built-in excuse with the committee if you sit Tua and say he's still injured. If you win, hey, look at that. We're Alabama. We still beat LSU without Tua. Mm-hmm. If you lose, the committee might actually take that into account at the end of the year if they're looking at a fourth spot. Well, Bama's one loss, because if you lose now and you roll the rest of the year, then it might be, well, if LSU wins, Bama's only loss was to LSU and it was without Tua. So maybe that gets Alabama in at a four seed, and they could still win the whole thing at that point.
That's a valid point.
So if I'm Nick Saban, I might consider just not throwing the game, but I maybe don't run Tua out there.
Yeah.
Save him for another week. It's a little bit of a letdown, but it's a built-in excuse.
But you better hope that the committee's thinking the way you're thinking. Because a lot of people are going to say, look, this has already been a down year for Alabama based on what they've had talent-wise in the past. They haven't played anybody.
But think about this. If they lose to LSU without Tua, then they beat Mississippi State. They have WCU on the 23rd. If they beat Auburn at the end of the year.
Auburn's okay, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, well, Auburn's what, 10, 11, something like that?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, Auburn's 11, according to the bowl committee. So that's a legitimate win, though, on the schedule at the end of the year, especially if you're coming off this one loss to LSU. And you might say, well, see what we can do against good competition with our quarterback. We just didn't have him for LSU. So because I'll be honest with you, if they play Tua and something happens and they lose that game, Bama's done.
I think just simply, unless a lot of teams really slip up themselves, I think if Bama loses this game and it's not hyper close coming down to the final play or two or something like that, final drive kind of thing, I think this is the year Bama's done regardless if they lose.
Okay, even with or without Tua?
I do.
Well, at least you have an excuse or a case to
be
made
in that
room.
True, and I see your point. It's a valid point.
But yeah, I feel like if LSU loses this game, it's going to be tough for them, because you're not going to play it for an SEC title now. And now you're going to have to hope that, let's just throw it out there. Let's say Bama wins and let's say Ohio State wins, right? Mm-hmm. So then your rankings going in would be Ohio State, Alabama, Clemson, and then Georgia jumps up. And that's where it becomes – so now you could end up at the end of the year, Georgia and Bama playing for the SEC title. If it's close one way or the other, both of those teams might get in and LSU doesn't.
That's what I was going to say. Here's the thing. The other thing that you take into consideration is, in years past when these first rankings came out, yes, three of the top four normally make it to the playoffs. But when you look at it, as low as a 13 or 14 seed in the initial poll, Ohio State, I think it was in 2014 or 15, went all the way through and won. But when you look at it this year, I'm pretty confident in saying, other than the top six teams, it's not going to be as easy to leapfrog because of all the stuff that you got going on, because you got the built-in two that can slide in real quick. Clemson's probably not going to lose any games, so they're just waiting, and someone's going to screw up.
Right.
Georgia also is just sitting there waiting. You don't have a Notre Dame hovering. You don't have, you know, Oklahoma slid down so far. Can they overcome all those
you
slots?
You want me to give you your wild card?
Sure.
Baylor.
Ooh, boy.
Baylor's undefeated. They're 8-0. If they run the table, they win the Big 12 title. Depending on what happens at the top between Ohio State and Penn State and the Big Ten title and how that goes down, and depending on what happens between LSU, Bama, and Georgia, because that may be where LSU beats Bama, LSU beats Georgia, then it's LSU and no other SEC team. That opens the door for either Oregon, but they would have one loss already, mm-hmm. or Baylor if they run the table in the Big 12 and become Big 12 champs. You're talking about a Power 5 conference that's undefeated? They might be able to sneak in.
I'm curious. Baylor still got Texas?
I believe so.
One way or another, they got to play them, right? Either the conference.
No, they still have Oklahoma and Texas.
See, that's
if they run the table.
So get yeah,
and
if
win
that
the
means
Big
that
12,
they're going to play two ranked teams. Ranked
well,
that
Texas
high,
isn't ranked right now.
Well, but okay, fine. But I mean, a quality program like Texas, who was ranked early in the year,
and then
you beat an Oklahoma in the top 10.
That could be your wild card, and they're currently right now at 12 in those rankings. So. If you're Baylor, it's a tough road to hoe.
Sure
you've got to beat Oklahoma and you have to beat Texas. And I just had the schedule in front of me. Let's see, Oklahoma is at home and Texas is at home.
Well, that helps them.
So you've got both of these games at home. If you can pull that off, you're sitting pretty to be a surprise team, like you said when Ohio State did it from 13. Which
yeah.
I could see that happening. You need a lot of breaks at the top, right?
Yeah,
you need LSU
10,
to run the table.
Maybe you're right. Baylor's got an outside shot.
Because if LSU runs the table, that means they would have beat Bama and they would have beat Georgia in the SEC title game. Both of those teams would have a loss, at least one. Georgia, I think, would have, two? So Georgia would be out.
But again, the way the committee works is, too, they're going to also look at, you're right, they're going to look at strength of schedule. They're going to look at mm-hmm. whom you played during the year. And then the other thing that's always the wild card for them is, did you win your conference?
Yep.
And if you have a conference championship game, did you win that? Because
yep.
that's hyper important to yeah. them. So
I just didn't understand Ohio State ahead of LSU.
I didn't
and I got into it, not into it, but AJ disagreed with me. Because I was bagging on Kirk Herbstreit for saying that Ohio State was number one in his mind. I thought, that's just you being from Ohio State. Well, the committee proved me wrong, but I don't agree with him and I don't agree with the committee. I think LSU has played the tougher competition. And AJ's point was, yeah, but Ohio State is trucking everybody. And that's true, they are. And
their
LSU
defensive line, which didn't get enough credit early in the year, is really solid. All their defenses.
Outside of LSU giving up 38 to Texas and 38 to Vanderbilt, they've played pretty well. They gave up 28 to Florida, but that's Florida. They gave up 20 to Auburn. So they're not trucking everybody.
Biggest difference with LSU is they've been known as a staple as defense.
Right.
Their defense, and they lost two key defensive players this week.
Yeah.
But the defense isn't as good, but the offense is 10 times better.
Yeah. But I'm going to give them credit for beating a top 10 team in Texas, which, again, they're not ranked now, so I get it. That's like, if we're going to knock that off, though, then go ahead and get rid of that Michigan State win for Ohio State, because that don't count either.
Sure, but here's
right?
the thing.
But you're still talking about they beat Florida, LSU has beat Florida and beat Auburn within a span of 3 weeks.
The other thing is, between the two teams, give strength of schedule to LSU.
Actually, Ohio State has the harder strength of schedule, according to the Wizards that run math.
Well,
can you believe that?
I don't believe it.
And
here's the other thing. Give balance on both sides of the football in terms of talent and ability to Ohio State.
Yeah.
But give the schedule to LSU. That's why I think
they've played the top.
They got the two teams right at the top. I'm just not sure they got the order right.
Yeah. I mean, the win over Wisconsin was big for Ohio State. But again, they're 13 now, so you don't have any wins over top 10 teams, even at the time when you played them.
But also keep in mind, like I said, it'll all play itself out, but a lot of it will.
Apparently, Big Ten and the conference that those guys have, that conference is obviously up because strength of schedule, Ohio State has a tougher strength of schedule than LSU. And that obviously benefited Penn State getting as high as they did.
Yep. No doubt about it. And well, like we said, a lot of it's going to play out between here and the end of the season, but it should be fun. The announcement just only gets the ball rolling in college football. We're going to keep the ball rolling. We're going to take a short break, then we're going to come back with a whole lot more. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Sit sideways, boys in the days. Sit sideways, boys in the days. Sit sideways, boys in the days. On a Sunday night, I might bring you some pain.
This
is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Roll through the final hour of the show. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry, Nick, and Joel in studio on the Way Back Wednesday. Nick, hour number three. Songs with MVP. An M, a V, or a P in the song title to start with, or the artist, based on MVP candidacy of Deshaun Watson. If you missed any of the show, go to ESPN975.com, and you can follow the instructions on how to download the app. Therefore, you don't miss anything wherever we go, whatever we do on Wednesdays or otherwise. And also, while you're at it, click at the top of the page where it says Usual Suspects. You can get the hours you missed and check out all of the songs from way back Wednesday.
P. Randizzle is still butthurt about the Tech Baylor game.
I knew the minute you said Baylor, he was chiming in.
Well, he was like, yeah, sorry, buddy. But, you know, if they run the table, even though you disagree or think that they got screwed, they got the W. And they would, if they beat Oklahoma on the way out the door and remain undefeated, they're probably going to be in.
After further review, the game stands as called.
Yeah.
And then if, like you said, and then if they go on from that point and don't lose, hard to keep them out.
I was on Twitter. And not to, yeah, and I was, you know, reading tweets from the suspects and other folks, and on the side over here, trends for you, it says Papa John's, Tiny, She's 18, and T.I. And I was like, what's going on with She's 18 and T.I.? So I clicked on it, and the headline from the Huffington Post reads, by the way, if you have kids in the car.
You always do this in the 3 o'clock hour.
You should come back at 3:30. So
should they?
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. T.I. escorts his daughter to the gynecologist every year to check if her hymen is intact.
What?
That's the headline on the Huffington Post. He's trying to make sure that his daughter Deja is still a virgin by making sure that her hymen hasn't been broken. I was going to say busted, but that's not appropriate.
No. No.
That's not but he said, yeah, the father of six told Ladies Like Us, a podcast by Nazan and Mandy. And Nazan and Mandy and Nadia Moham. I guess I'm getting that right. That he takes his 18-year-old.
You might guess wrong, but okay.
Did I get it wrong?
I don't know. I don't think it sounded right.
If you don't know who it is, how the hell you know if I got it right or wrong?
Because if I'd have said the same thing and read it like that, you'd have been all over it.
Well, you're from the Midwest. You guys get everything wrong. So, not us Texas folks. We get everything right. Mario.
Ohio State ain't
wrong. But he said he takes his 18-year-old daughter, Deja Harris, to the gynecologist after her birthday every year to check that her hymen is still intact. T.I. told Mandy and Moham that he does this to protect his daughter. Here's the thing that I do know. One, that a hymen check isn't a good test of virginity. And here's why I know that. Because women can actually break their hymen in a lot of different ways. Horseback riding could cause it to break. So it's a bad judge of has she had sex or not.
T.I. has a response for that, though.
Oh, what was it?
Look, doc, she don't ride no horses, she don't ride no bike, she don't play no sports, just check the hymen, please, and give me back my results exponentially.
Is that what he said?
That's a quote.
Now, let me ask you this. What happens if he finds out...
What if she just sat down real fast? Pop!
What happens if he finds out that it's broken?
She's 18 at this point.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And even still, it's her life. Understand you want to be the best parent you can be, but what happens if... what's the punishment if you find out that it is? Is the guy going to get punished? Is she going to get punished?
His 15-year-old is sexually active, male. His name is King.
And he's okay with that.
He said, yeah, he goes, I didn't want his son to, he didn't want his son to have sex, quote unquote, before it's time. But, quote again, I definitely feel different about a boy than about a girl.
Well, you're a sexist pig, T.I.
I don't think there's any father out there who will tell you any different. Joel?
No.
If you had a son Would you be okay with him having sex at 18 or at 16?
18, yes.
No, at 16, but not your daughter.
No. Look, here's the thing.
I might say yes, bro.
I'm kind of with you.
Here's the thing.
I'm a sexist pig.
I have a problem with them being sexually active too early. But I don't. My answer to that was based on the fact that I can't. I don't think it's fair for you to say that your son can do whatever he wants and your daughter can't. Now, granted, with my daughters, I'm going to be hyper. I mean, I'm going to be protective. I'm going to be educational. I'm going to try and give her all the facts, give them all the facts and everything like that, and try and make sure that they're making smart decisions and not doing anything too soon. But at the end of the day, it's kind of hard to control their life 24/7. They're going to be in environments, places, and hanging out with friends that you can't control. You're not going to be there. So you just hope that you've instilled enough value and judgment in them that they're going to make the right call.
I totally agree with that, but I think the problem is hypocritical to let your son have sex at 16 and not your daughter at 18.
Totally agree.
But in the article, so I remember in sex ed them telling us about the hymen and riding horses, and that was the example I remember hearing about, right? Mm-hmm. But in the article it says the membrane can tear from a variety of reasons, including sexual activity, physical activity, menstruation, general bathing, and often it simply deteriorates as girls get older. So, but he's like, oh, nope, don't care. Riding a bike, nope, don't care. That's so sexist, bro. Like,
well, that and the fact that she's 18. I get it if she's like 12, 13, 14, and you're trying to make sure that obviously.
Yeah, but are you taking your daughter for a hymen check at 14?
No.
That's even worse because then she's like, Daddy, why are we here? Well, because I'm trying to make sure you're not having sex. What's sex? Oh, boy. What have I done now?
Yeah.
No, maybe 16 if you're that weird of a dad that you're going to do hymen checks.
But again, isn't that trying to be overly possessive of your daughter's life? I'm leaving that kind of stuff to Lisa.
Are you?
With the girls, like going to the gynecologist and all that stuff. I want no part of that. Now, like I said, I'm going to try and educate my kids so that I can trust that they're going to have the right values and make the right judgments. But at the end of the day, like I said, unless you're there 24/7, there's no way you can stop it if they're adamant about doing it. You only hope that they're smart enough to use protection.
Yep. You're a rational and smart parent for sure.
Thank God I'm not there for quite a while.
Boy, that would be a real tough thing for me with a daughter. I don't envy dads of the world with daughters, and you've got two of them.
Yeah.
But it should be mature about it. You know that you have to prepare yourself and prepare them and be the best. But you kind of hope and wish. But to go this far is just – that's cuckoo. That's wild.
That's way over the top. And like I said, it's too possessive. It's too protective. And it's just – it's something that I just think is
– Yeah.
So – all right, we'll continue to roll on. We got a half hour to go on the show, so still got plenty of stuff we can get to. If there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, join us, 713-780-3776. That's our HR&P listener line. You can call that number, text that number. You can also hit us on Twitter. Before we go to the break, I do want to remind you, tonight, I know it was supposed to be a big, big game with Steph Curry and the Warriors. It's not Steph Curry, but the Warriors are in town. You know how much the Rockets fans hate the Warriors, and they're taking on the Rockets. And to entice you even more to get to the game, it's happy hour at Toyota Center as the Rockets and Warriors do battle. Early 6:30 tip. People don't realize that. National TV game, ESPN. Doors are going to open at 5. They're going to entice you with $2 hot dogs, $5 beers right up until game time. So get there early. They want to make sure your butts are in the seats and you're well fed and you've got your beverages. So therefore, the prices go down. $2 hot dogs, $5 beers all the way up until game time. And remember again, special early tip time, 6:30 p.m. Westbrook and Harden are playing. That's all you need to know because you want to see your Rockets first and foremost. And if they're going to punish the Warriors, you get a little bit more enjoyment out of it. And you get even more enjoyment if you get $2 hot dogs and $5 beers. It's a no-brainer. A limited number of tickets still remain, starting at just $29. So get to Rockets.com now. Get your seats. While you're there, remember Rockets.com, your one-stop shop for everything Houston Rockets. Rockets and Warriors tonight at Toyota Center, early start time, 6:30 p.m.
You gonna answer that?
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
VIP. Let's kick it.
Ice, ice, baby.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Final half hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking us on the go, wherever you may be in the big city on a Wednesday. Way back Wednesday, if you're a suspect. As you know by now, the theme of the day and the fact that we executed, which was good. And hey, we got another one off the books.
That's right.
So, Nick, you're on the clock. Already start thinking about a theme for next week.
Let's do it. I'll figure out something good.
Will you?
Probably not.
Artists that are Australian. Boom. There it is. It's done.
I just checked in on the Twitch just for
okay
giggles. I don't know. Is that still a thing? I know it's still a thing, but do they still chat on there?
I think they do. I think, you know, with Aaron and the Blitz, Aaron is more proactive on Twitch because he's the one that handles it. I don't really do that. I should do it more. And I think maybe if I was more proactive on Twitch, then they'd be more interactive. Or YouTube, one of you two. Then they'd be more comments and more. But the thing is, probably. I think there's a lot of people that have already made comments, even when we don't respond.
Oh, really? They just kind of chat amongst themselves?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Or they comment on our show.
I think that's cool. I think it's a cool thing if the listeners can actually hop on Twitch and chat with other listeners while the show is going on. Yeah, look, see, Zerofold just said, yup. I don't know what that means.
It's a communicative community.
But it's there. It is.
Amongst suspects.
Very cool.
Because don't Fred and AJ have Aaron respond for them?
That's what Nicholas
said.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. I'm verifying that. Yeah,
because so Fred handles the texts and the tweets, I guess. And then Aaron, I think, does the Twitch.
And they have a separate website in terms of the degenerates975.com.
Separate Twitter, yeah.
And Facebook. So, okay.
Yep.
When do we get suspects at Facebook?
We were talking about that yesterday.
Jerome said, y'all don't have a show Facebook or a show Twitter. I said, no, we didn't want one. We just do it individually.
Yeah.
Because I don't think we would keep up with it.
And Facebook for us is, we've said that. Facebook is our private, just for friends and family. Yeah. Twitter is all the, and Instagram.
But
the
we could have created a fan page for The Usual Suspects on Facebook. We just didn't. And I don't know at this point if it would be worth it. If people want to get in touch with us, they usually tweet us or text the show. And we're very interactive. And I think by doing it the way we do it, we're able to be more interactive. Instead of having to focus on a third, or actually in this case, a fourth and fifth account, right? Just have our accounts, and that's how you get in touch with us.
I am being told on Twitch right now that Fred reads them out. I've never heard Aaron read any, so maybe he just relays it to Fred. I don't know.
Really?
That's what I'm being told on the Twitch.
Oh, that would be even
now.
Worse. So he has to say it in his ear. If you were reading Twitch in my ear,
type it.
Oh, on that.
Chat it, maybe. Yeah.
Fred can't see that screen.
That's probably kind of true.
He has to get up and walk over there and stand in front of it, and then walk back and say who the caller is. I'm in the chat room now, and all I see is Zerofold. But I know that there's 47 people in looking at the Twitch right now.
Okay.
I don't know what the total views is. Is that today, or is that overall? Or
no, that's right now.
No, total views. There's watching now views.
Yeah.
I imagine that's every day.
Accumulated.
I would say it would.
I think that's specifically for when it's public. Like after we go off and we're not live anymore, it's automatically published on Twitch. Anybody who clicks on it thereafter, that counts as a view.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. All right. Look at us. Fancy ESPN twitching it.
Not bad. News of the day, NFL-wise, DeSean Jackson placed on IR with his ab issues, as well as Cam Newton out for the year now. And now people are saying what we have already been talking about, which is that his days are probably numbered with Carolina. He even already did like a farewell Instagram as if to say he will always have the Panthers and the people of Carolina in his heart. But they save $19 million if they cut him of his 21.
You think they do?
I think based on how Allen has played, I think it's a legit possibility.
If you're shaking the magic eight ball, all signs point to them parting ways.
Yep. Another thing we talked about earlier in the week and made official is Nick Foles is the new starting quarterback of the Jags. So I don't think that surprised us, as we both said, that you know, based on the fact that Minshew had a nice little run, but the turnovers and everything else mean he's got work to do. And
yeah.
You got Foles right there.
Did you see this article about comparing Baker Mayfield and Johnny Manziel?
He hates that.
He does, but it was crazy because The headline says Baker Mayfield's QB rating is in his second NFL season is lower than Johnny Manziel's was with 7 more interceptions. And it shows where Baker Mayfield's QB rating in his second NFL season is a 71.3. Johnny Manziel had a 74.4. Manziel had 7 touchdowns and 5 interceptions. Baker has 7 touchdowns and 12 interceptions. Yeesh. If 7-5 with a 74.4 got Johnny Manziel run, which a lot of it was his off the field, let's be real.
Yeah.
But that's not a good start. And then they showed lowest passer rating not under pressure. So no pressure. You've got a nice pocket. Lowest passer rating, Baker Mayfield with a 75.1. He's thrown 6 touchdowns and 10 interceptions without being under pressure, which means he's thrown 1 touchdown and 2 interceptions under pressure. But he's 6, and so the ratio is worse when no one's pressuring him to throw the ball. His rating is a 75.1. The second closest as far as being bad is Andy Dalton with an 84.3. That's awful.
If you're Home Depot, I mean, that's the thing. Like, you have the good rookie year, your first season, and everybody's talking about you.
Yeah.
But then, thankfully, Hulu just pulled. They went to the Saquon Barkley card. But, you know, he had Hulu, Home Depot, had all these endorsement deals. And for what? For a guy that's the ass bottom of the NFL quarterback ranking-wise, and dude's got endorsements all over the place. You got to be kicking yourself going, damn, boy, did we screw that up.
Bad. You want to hear the others on this list?
Yeah.
Mayfield at 75.1, then Dalton at 84.3. Josh Allen of the Bills has an 86.6 passer rating, not under pressure.
Right.
Kyle Allen has an 87.3 passer rating, not under pressure. And then Mitch Trubisky has an 88.2. That is not good company to be in.
No.
All those guys are having pretty bad years.
You think?
Yeah.
Yeah, but of all of them, I think the guy that had the most hype. Well, yeah, Allen still got wiggle room because this is his first year.
Yeah.
And people are pretty impressed. People forget the fact that he came out a year early after being basically demoted by the U of H, his second school who gave up on him. And everybody made fun of him for coming out and skipping his one last year of eligibility. And yet, this dude's starting in the NFL, and he's been pretty impressive.
Yeah, he has. I apologize.
What are you doing over there?
I picked up my phone.
Well. Hello, Maurice Cheeks.
And friend of the show, Julia Rose, has a new post on her Instagram.
Saw it already.
Highly recommended.
You're going to ask her a question.
Okay. It's top notch. So that really threw me for...
She would get the Palillo. But...
That's a quality. It's quality follow right there on Instagram.
Yeah.
Not even going to lie. Yeah. Not looking good for Baker Mayfield. Do you think he lasts a full third year with the Browns?
I think he has to. I just think that based on everything that's... You know what? Here's the thing, too. I think of everything that's gone wrong with the Browns this year, they're going to put all the blame on Freddie Kitchens. I don't think he's the coach next year. I think there's too many people that are already pointing the fingers and saying he's never had experience, and it shows, and it was terrible, and it was the wrong decision, and it's on John Dorsey. He will get a pass this year and get the... He will start again next year. But I think if he fails miserably again next year, it's going to be a really tough scenario for him, not only to not... not only just to last with the Browns, but then I think other teams in the league are going to be like, yeah, I don't know. This is worse than the Marcus Mariota situation.
Do you think Johnny Manziel's at home? Like, see,
I think he's happy.
It can always be worse.
Yeah,
guys.
He's happy that he can deflect a little of all this crap.
Do a little drugs and you cause a little havoc. It could always be worse.
I think you're absolutely right, but I think at least from Baker Mayfield's perspective, he had one good year. Where he was better than average. He had a good first year.
He got their hopes up, that's for sure.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw this or not, but this one is, I found a little bit interesting. For all the things that happened and Aaron Hernandez did, do you know now that the truth is coming out 2 years after his suicide that he's linked to a fourth murder?
What?
Yeah, he went out, there's a story out right now on Radar Online that states that while in prison, with his partner in prison, his partner reports that he was bragging about another murder that he was a part of.
That's wild.
While he was out there. It's like, this dude, man, who... Talk about incognito. No one saw any of this.
No.
coming, and then to find out how many different incidents there were and how many different lives were affected and how many people were murdered, and even the story at the club where just because the guy looked at him wrong and maybe hit his drink a little bit, that he went out in an SUV and found the dudes in a car and just took them out?
It's crazy, man.
Man.
And you had the whole world in your hands. Like, you had everything and couldn't get away from that.
And here's the other one, because I didn't know, I guess I didn't follow that part of the story because he was engaged. But his cellmate was his boyfriend in prison. They had a relationship.
Okay.
So as part of a new book coming out, the cellmate and boyfriend, Kyle Kennedy, said, he always used to tell me he had four murders. He would just always joke around and then brag, I got four bodies. And only three were found out in the court of the law.
That's crazy.
So that's pretty crazy. All right, we got one segment to go on the show. We take you till 4. Blitz takes you till 7. You keep it tuned right here, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
I know a girl who's obsessed with a guy. She talks for hours.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Final segment of the show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. We'll finish this segment off, put a bow on it, turn it over to the Blitz. They take you till 7. You keep it right here on ESPN 97.5. Spirited show today. Lots of fun and games, sports and otherwise. We even covered that. And always appreciate you suspects sticking with us 1 to 4 every single day throughout your work week and the weekdays. Fellas, the other story that was kind of intriguing today that I saw in Bro Bible was there's a documentary and a book that O.J. Simpson's agent put out.
Mm-mm.
In which he starts to dish on a variety of different subjects that he was privy to in dealing with O.J.
He did it!
I'm not going to go into all that, but one of the stories that's become front and center and appeared on Keeping Up with the Kardashians last week was the fact that O.J., according to his agent, claims to have had sex with Kris Jenner, the mama of the Kardashians.
It's been a rumor for a while.
Yeah.
So she came out.
Because they're saying one of the daughters is his.
Yes, they are.
But that's been the rumor for a very long time.
So she started to address it. So she addressed it on the show. She also, according to People Magazine, said, they printed a story that I was sleeping with OJ, that effing piece of S. It's really kind of pathetic that when rumors get started, the media give it life and breathe on it. And especially on the anniversary of Nicole's death, it's so tasteless, it's disgusting. If you go into the book, and they printed the excerpts of the book that the agent is talking about, he claims that on a time in which OJ and Nicole and Robert Kardashian and Kris, who were married at the time, obviously, were vacationing together.
Mm-hmm.
They were all in a hot tub. Nicole and Robert Kardashian decided to retire for the evening, and they were going to bed. The other two, obviously OJ and Kris, stayed in. OJ, he said, stood up, pulled his shorts down, and said, I'll give you exactly what he said. He said, and I quote, her eyes bugged out of her head, and I effed her. I effed the B until I broke her. That was as messed up as you can possibly get. And he went on to claim that it was so rough, or for whatever reason, the damage was so drastic that Kris called OJ in the middle of the night at 2 or 3 in the morning, and she said,
you broke my hymen.
She came to OJ's room and said, can you take me to the hospital? And he said, nope, have your husband do it.
What?
This dude, man.
He's a garbage human being. If this is true, I don't know if that's true. But let's just assume it is garbage human being, right?
It says that Simpson, now 71, boasted of doing this and the damage that his menacingly large manhood had apparently inflicted to his agent during a 2003 limo ride from Raleigh, North Carolina to a paid appearance at an Atlanta nightclub.
Damn, how far is it from Raleigh to Atlanta?
Down in the south, down in there, it's all pretty close. Like Atlanta and
you took a limo south ride Carolina. From
it's
Raleigh? Not
that it's honestly, I've talked to my buddy who at one point lived in South Carolina and said, like, in certain bigger cities in South Carolina to get to Atlanta, it's really like an hour, a half hour.
That's still a long ass. Wait. Where the hell am I?
You're in Houston on your show.
Bro, Raleigh, North Carolina to Atlanta?
Yeah.
In a limo?
Yeah.
No, I don't think you know how close North Carolina and Georgia are.
No.
Huh?
I was talking about South Carolina, close to Atlanta.
Yeah, but that's Raleigh's in North Carolina.
I know. Okay, so give it to us.
437 miles.
Evidently, they don't have an airport.
One way in a limo ride? Is there a Raleigh, South Carolina?
I don't think so, but I think the article said Raleigh, North Carolina, right?
That's crazy.
Yeah, but this all
this
that
the
stuff
real story
was
is that you pay for a limo ride from Raleigh, North Carolina to Atlanta.
When it says an Atlanta nightclub, what are you thinking?
I don't know.
Wasn't that all the big strip clubs back in the day were in Atlanta? That was the one where all the Patrick Ewing and all those guys were involved in.
Yeah.
Scores or whichever one it was.
Oh, yeah.
So this is a story that is front and center right now with the Kardashians, Kris Jenner, and of course OJ. Now that OJ's out, why can't he comment on it?
Right.
I mean, he's dressing up as Mahomes. That was creepy. He dressed up as Mahomes for Halloween. He's doing all this advice and stuff on Antonio Brown and talking about fantasy football and all these things. Well, if you want to keep making a splash and getting people to follow you on social media, answer up to the tell the truth on this.
Right.
Inquiring minds want to know.
Tell the truth.
That's right. So, I mean, I just thought that was interesting that that's out there. And I don't watch, obviously, the Keeping Up with the Kardashians, but I found out of it on Bro Bible. Because I'm not watching that damn show. And thank God, of all the reality TV that Lisa watches, that's not one of them.
I'm with you. Nora watched it for like a half a season. And I walked into the room one day and went, oh, my God, no. And I left.
Yeah, no. Huh?
I just can't do it.
No, I'm with you.
Now, I'll watch Kim's sex tape, but that's as far as I go.
You're a fan of Ray. So you're a fan of Ray J, is what you're saying?
No, I'm a fan of naked Kim Kardashian having sex.
Before all the surgeries? Are you good with how she is now?
I don't care.
Okay.
She's nude. It don't matter.
I'm just asking.
Yeah. That got weird.
Yeah. It's the way it should on this show, right? Because like the rest of the show was straight and narrow today.
Yeah, this was a very
we had an Aussie talking about threesomes.
We've talked about
out of the ordinary.
We talked with an Aussie about threesomes and a rapper. We talked about a rapper and his daughter's hymen. It's a very typical usual suspects kind of day,
right?
Really. Did you see this story that came out where Major League Baseball is going to be using the automated strike zone in the minors in 2020? I'm excited about that. It's the next step.
It's getting closer. Yeah, it is.
What do you say, by 2025?
I think sooner than that. I think just basically on how the World Series went and how many, both fan bases, Washington's fan base and Houston's fan base, had plenty to gripe about the strike zone in the World Series.
Yep.
I don't think baseball feels like it's a good look for the sport going forward. I think the sooner the better. If they can find a way to master the technology and do it in a very orderly fashion and keep the game moving, I think it'll be sooner than 2025.
Well, here's a key into how it's moving along, because it says, I think we need to be ready to use an automated strike zone when the time is right. That's why we experimented in the Atlantic League. It's why we went to the Arizona Fall League. It's why we're using it in minor league baseball next year in some ballparks at least. So what it tells you is they tried it once. They liked the results. They moved it up a notch. They liked the results. Now they're going to a lot of minor league baseball. And so if it makes its way to AAA, get ready, because it won't be long before it hits the majors.
And the neat part was they did it here at the Skeeters games in Sugar Land, and you could tell the way they had it set up that the technology was there so they could do it, but you also got to believe that there's ways to do it better, faster, and more accurately than they did it, because there was like a line on the infield to line up the exact midpoint of the strike zone with the camera, which was sitting kind of behind, attached to the press box behind home plate.
Right.
And then there was a mic in the ear of the umpire. You got to believe, just like anything else, as technology progresses, they'll find a way to do it quicker.
So they give you, they watch the TV and then tell the.
The way that it's a computer system, but it's based on, there's the center field camera, I believe, and then there's a camera slash, like a data port up behind home plate, like where the press box is, and they're lined up based on a football chalk line, which is on the infield grass, to make sure that the cameras are in direct correlation to each other. And then somehow the data is computed based on height of the batter and strike zone and all that. Don't get me. I mean, I'm just giving you what I've seen on the TV feature that was done on it. And then the umpire has an earpiece, and it's and relayed to him, strike or ball.
Strike?
Yep.
So it takes a second.
And he'll still make the call on the field, but he didn't actually...
I've always said they just need to give the dude a little thing in his hand. Well, a device in his hand where he could just look down and go, oh, it just shows red or green, ball or strike. And he just goes, well, that was a ball. Oh, that was a strike. That would seem to be that would be a lot easier than an earpiece.
And if you could
take
do
the
that
human
quickly,
element out of it again.
And not only that, but you also save time because you're not going to have batters stepping out of the batter's box going, That was a strike. Was that outside? Was that inside?
Yeah.
That would eliminate a lot of that on the flip side. So maybe quicken the game up.
Wouldn't it be hilarious if the stepped back and checked an iPad for every pitch? He's like, oh, that was a strike.
Or pulls his phone out. On my phone. It looked pretty good to me.
Yeah.
Pretty good show, fellas. On a way back Wednesday, we appreciate you all listening and being suspects. We're going to be back again tomorrow. Hopefully, so will you. So, for Nick and Barry, I'm Joel. You guys have a great night, everybody. And keep it tuned right here. Fred, AJ, Aaron, the Blitz, they're coming up next right here on ESPN 97.5.
Then I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not.
Yeah, boy.
Sam Windsor with the Houston Sabercats here. Even when I'm down under, I'm listening to ESPN 97.5 on the app. You can stream the boys from anywhere. Mate.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.